Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on? What could it be? Who could it be now? I think that's a song by Men at Work. Who can it be now? Anyway, whoever it's by, bless their hearts. It's Karina Reichman, and we're here at Inappropriate Happiness HQ with another episode, and I am joined by my dear pal. His name's Isaac Sloan. Isaac Sloan, what it is, dude? How you doing?
Karina, welcome home.
Thanks, dude.
You know, I texted you. You've sat in with a couple of bands this year. You've been on the road with a number of bands this year. This Guster tour looks far and away more amazing than I could have ever imagined.
You know, you took the words out of my mouth, Isaac. It's unbelievable. You know, I'm like a goldfish sometimes, where like once things are over, like I don't remember. Like, you know, I've been home for a few days now, and I'm just like, oh yeah, that feels like a distant memory, man. Totally. But let me tell you, while I still have a semblance of memory of that in my brain, it was incredible. Those guys are so nice. Number one, that's like their brand, is that they're the nicest people ever. Which is a great brand. I'm all about it. And yeah, they literally invited me to sit in every night, which was insane. And I did, my first sit-in was the song Simple Machine off their 2015 record Evermotion, and a record I love. And then they asked me to do Hard Times with them, which was a song off their most recent record that I love so much. And I've like literally since that record came out, I was like, oh my God, like this song is amazing. And without, you know, literally like the day of, it was actually in Providence, Rhode Island, which we were just speaking about before off the air. But in Providence, they were just like rehearsing Hard Times. And they were like, Karina, you know this one? And I was like, yeah. And I got up there and it was my first time singing without holding an instrument. Like ever, really, except hearkening back to maybe, you know, some of our early teenage School of Rock adjacent days in music school programs, right? Like, I have not front-manned anything like that in my professional quote-unquote life.
Although, I think there's more to come with that.
Haha, it feels good. It's kind of exciting. And I feel like, you know, and then that went so well that they wanted to do that, you know, every night. So I like feel like I finally, by the end there, I like learned what to do with my hands. And, you know, from watching videos, I was like, ooh, that is an awkward way to hold your body, girl. Don't do that. And then I corrected that. You know, I feel like I got better and better at it, which is so cool and just so nice of them to do that. And then the last two nights, Isaac, they had the swell idea to have my entire band join their band for Psycho Killer Going Into Grooves in the Heart, which was so cool. And, you know, shout out to my boy Adam November on guitar. Adam is a diehard Guster fan from high school and not even middle school. Like he was talking about like his middle school years in camp with his camp counselors, like singing Guster songs at like age 10, 11, 12, whatever. And his parents are Geek Out Guster fans. So for them to come to the shows and see their kid like on stage with one of their favorite bands was just like, they were over the moon. It's so cute and so incredible. And, the Guster fans are fucking awesome, yo. They are so kind and so cool. Met so many people. I did the merch every single night, which was awesome. And, you know, something I still take pride in, which is really fun. And it was just great to meet people. It was great to make some fans. It was great to make some friends. It was great to hang with my pals in Guster. And funnily enough, you know, we have yet another concert together, which is something called the Tulip Festival, which is a festival put on by the radio station WEQX up in Albany. It's like basically takes over the town square, like, you know, on like a grassy field in the middle of the town. And it's called the Tulip Fest. And on Saturday, May 13th, it's headlined by Guster, who will play at 4:30 in the afternoon. And right, direct support to them is me at 3 o'clock. So we just were laughing because that show got announced while we were on tour together, and neither of us knew that that was the billing or anything like that. We were just like, oh, shit, what's up? Yo, see you in a month, bitches. So very hyped on the Tulip Fest. I've played Albany so much this year. I don't understand why, except you just can't keep me out of that place, dude. I love it. I love the state's capital. It's the Sacramento of New York. Come on. So looking forward to that.
Well, I just want to shout out a spot in Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah.
The Olneyville, New York system.
Dude, can we talk about this? Can you even believe this? I'd like to, you know, tag team this shout out. My buddy John Bear, who hosted my band in Providence, Rhode Island. He's born and raised there. Came to the show. He's my CD baby rep for many years. He now works at Downtown Music. He basically is from Providence, Rhode Island. Was just like, do you guys want to experience the finest late night food that Providence has to offer? And we said, oh, hell yeah. And you did the same thing just a few days after, hanging out with our friends in the band Melt. How good is this place?
This place is amazing. I want to, first of all, tell the listeners that a CD baby rep is somebody that helps Karina distribute music in a very short
Thank
sense
you.
Of it.
Thank you.
But just in case you were wondering
what the hell
what
she
meant by my CD baby rep.
It's a niche thing to have.
Anyway, Olneyville, New York system. I don't know what it really has to do with New York, because it is a kind of a late night hot dog spot.
In Rhode Island.
And I've never had that in New York.
Just Grace Papaya. That's kind of art. But now, you know, don't get me started on how the pandemic has shifted the Grace Papaya hours. So they are closed at 10 o'clock every night. It's unbelievable, actually. And I'm very upset because I am going to the Beacon Theater tonight and I would have had a hot dog after the show. And guess what's not going to happen now? That. So anyway, back to Olneyville, New York system. They are open all night long. Their specialty is two wieners all the way. They love to say it. I love to say it too. Worth every penny. The, you know, what's that cost? Like $3? I don't know. It was unbelievable. Well-priced, complete vibe. They also have something called coffee milk, where coffee milk has no caffeine in it. And it's like basically like chocolate milk. So like kids be drinking this. And it's super sweet and super milky and has that coffee sweet flavor, and it's delightful. So we had, you know, two wieners all the way, some coffee milks, you know, some fries, a couple of waters, I don't know, and it's a super old school vibe. Shout out Olneyville, New York system. Isaac, I'm so glad you experienced that as well. What a blast.
That's very cool. Yeah, and we're only getting to now talk about it, so.
Yeah, no, it's special stuff.
Very special stuff.
Ugh, unbelievable. Yeah, lots of great stuff. We had a day off, basically, between playing Lebanon, New Hampshire, and Northampton, Massachusetts, where we stayed with my very dear friend, Eric Goodwin. Eric Goodwin is the purveyor of, or rather, the owner of a restaurant chain called The Friendly Toast, of which there are 10 going on 14, I believe, which is crazy. All in the Northeast, and they are phenomenal. If you see yourself in Portland, Maine, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, there's about like six of them in New Hampshire or some crazy shit like that. But Burlington, Vermont, There's one in Boston. There's about to be so many more. Get yourself to a friendly toast, all right? That's all I can say. So that was a beautiful day off, and we went yet another establishment that I love so much in the great town of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. You know it. You love it. It's called the Jumpin' Jay's Fish Cafe. It has been immortalized in a Marco Benevento song, perhaps the most famous Marco Benevento song, which is called At the Show, where he sings about the Jumpin' Jay's Fish Cafe. Anyway, we got to go there on a day off. That was just terrific. But yes, all in all, Isaac, I will put a bow on the subject by saying, long live Guster. May we all have 30-year careers like that. Every show I played with them was sold out. All these people are ravenous, and they still somehow don't feel like a nostalgia act at all. You know what I mean? They have been putting out records consistently. They push the envelope. They sound like them, but they also really are committed to developing the sound and going with what feels right to them. And I'm so excited to hear this new record of theirs that they just, you know, are putting the finishing touches on right now. Love these guys so much. Thank you, Ryan, Adam, Brian, Luke, and my pal Dave Butler. They are a great, great posse, and we're very lucky to be able to open so many shows for them.
And they seem interested in coming on the podcast, so perhaps that'll happen at some point.
That would be great to have Guster on the podcast. You know, they're all, you know, each one of them is funnier and nicer and more intelligent than the last. You know what I mean? I feel like they'd have great things to say. So yeah, and it's crazy, Isaac. Like, to this year, I've opened for the Disco Biscuits, Mo, and Guster, and I've sat in with all of them, which is crazy that they've invited me to do that. And they've all, you know, they've all just been incredible experiences and shit that I would never have dreamed. Like, that's just wild. So thank you to those three bands for having me do the thing, man. It's so fun. Oh, and Neil Francis, just at the strike of midnight, right? So, like, I played with Neil Francis, too, at the strike of midnight. So we can include him there. Thanks for having me, fellas. It's really cool when, like, bands invite the opener to share the stage with them. I just think that's delightful. So thank you. That's very, very cool.
Sometimes we're at a show that you're not sitting in at, and somebody will recognize you in the crowd and say, hey, they could use you up there.
Hey, Katrina, they could use you up there. Yep, they do say that.
So it seems like everyone's catching on.
You know, it just starts with one person, right? It just starts with one person. I got recognized at Guitar Center the other day by a patron, like somebody who was just buying something. I was buying a bass with my friend for her, like my friend's first bass, and we were in there, and somebody was just like, hey, you're not opening the shows this weekend, are you? And I didn't know what he was talking about, and I was like, what? He's like, the Mo shows at Higher Ground. And I was like, oh, wow, no, I'm just not, but thank you. He's like, oh, I saw you with them last summer and at the Jersey Shore, and I saw you, blah, blah, you know. Anyway, he laid down a few Mo shows that he had seen me at, so I thought that was very sweet. I was like, holy shit, taken aback, you know. Out of the context of a show, I'm just like, whoa, hi, that's crazy. So that was exciting. And lots of fun musical things are happening, Isaac. We got lots of stuff. You spent, I know this is, it's not old news, just like Guster's not old news, but like the Big Ears Festival, a festival that is just about the music.
Yes.
How did you enjoy your time down in Knoxville? And can you tell the listeners how you felt about your time there?
This was a cool thing. This festival is in its 10th year. Holy and shit. Your boyfriend, Johnny Beach, sent
so
me
hot.
The schedule to this. And I couldn't really resist. And it is a festival that happens all over Knoxville, Tennessee. You get a pass and you are admitted into all of the venues down there.
Oh.
And at any time of day, you can go see musicians who are pretty much in their own category. They're sort of peerless in a way. Like, there's no one who plays quite like them. Do whatever they feel like doing together.
Oh.
And it's a very special thing. You know, I feel like I am definitely guilty of, and have also been victim to, people coming back from music festivals and like proselytizing, like, you have to go, you don't understand, it's so cool. But I have a lot of takeaways from this festival. And you know, the real theme, as you said, it's like so much about the music, but it's really about like how much can you listen.
Sure.
And I have been on like meditation retreats, which is like what happens if you just sit and, you know, just continue to sit, like what begins to emerge. And this is very much like what happens if you just keep listening.
Wow.
And it
similar.
Does change the way you start to hear things in a way that, like, you know, by day three, like, my tolerance for going to see, like, a harp trio for, like, 45 minutes was very different than when I first landed there. And, you know, there's no, like, sort of, you know, talking during the fest. It's very different in that way where, like, you come in and you sit down and you just listen.
Unbelievable.
It's
and these are
very cool.
Are you having 12-hour days over under?
Yeah, I wouldn't say 12-hour. I would say probably 8 to 10-hour. But yeah, almost 12-hour.
Wow.
Yeah, and I also, like, I wasn't really sure if I would want to see, like, full sets. It would feel weird to, like, leave a set early. And, like, it does have a very sort of natural way of taking you around. I mean,
wow.
There were some sets I saw in full. There were some sets I just sort of stopped in for. Saw Pino Palladino and Blake Mills, which was amazing. Micaiah McRaven, which was so good, like overwhelmingly good. Like I had to step out of the theater for a minute just to not hear how good it was. I saw Dave Lombardo from Slayer playing a trio with John Zorn and Trevor Dunn.
Oh my God.
I saw Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, who's amazing. She sang in Haitian Creole and French and covered Big Thief and covered the song from Hair.
Holy shit.
And like all over the place. Bela Fleck with Sierra Hall, Justin Moses.
Oh my God.
Michael Cleveland. Like it was.
It's actually overwhelming.
It was very overwhelming. And also totally chill at the same time.
Right. Because it's just about
it's
the
just
music.
About the music.
And it's not overwhelmingly, like, there's no sceney element to it. There's no douchebag element to it, really, right?
There
like,
are locals who go. There are people who fly in from Europe to go. There's certainly a lot of, like, music heads and, like, Zappa t-shirts,
sure.
like, talking about the specific things in a kind of, like, geeky way, which I really love and certainly resonate with.
Wow.
And it's a lot of people just being turned on to this stuff for the first time. You know, like talking with locals, they're like, lots of alternative talent here. Really cool to see all of this come through. It's amazing what it does for our, Knoxville, you know.
Oh,
it was
man.
Like, so I will likely be returning to this. It was a very, very special thing. And like, also when you visit a town for live music, sometimes you're just seeing the venue you're playing or the venue you're attending the show at. But we really got to see all of these different nooks and crannies from the, you know, gorgeous Tennessee Theater to like the 800 cap Mill and Mine where we saw Kevin Morby at 2 p.m.
Amazing.
You know,
amazing.
And like the old Performing Arts Center, which is like a black box theater where I saw Jeff Coffin play, you know, at 4 p.m. You know, really, it was, I haven't been really to anything like it, and it was pretty remarkable.
Incredible. Look at that. So, listeners, put it on your calendar for next year, all right? You're going to Big Ears. I'm going to Big Ears. Fuck it. We ball. Isaac, Johnny, my boyfriend, we got to go. I feel like we got to go. I'm personally jealous, and I would like to attend this because it sounds like a festival unlike any other.
Totally. Yeah, and even if you're, you know, plan to attend, like, look at the lineup from this year. Check out the artists. I've been listening to so much new music as a result of just attending this and looking up who I missed, who I didn't get to see, and like, what's that all about?
Sure.
You know?
I think the curation of it, they don't take it lightly. You know what I mean? I feel like that is just curated to the nines very intentionally and with a lot of care, you know, and I think that's really cool.
Definitely.
Wow, man. Well, that's wildly exciting. And on the other end of the globe, the planet, we have a very interesting and exciting thing that happened, which is that Bob Dylan, Robert Zimmerman by birth, you know, barely arguably, but maybe the greatest songwriter to ever live, is in Tokyo doing a residency. And for the first time ever, outside of the United States of America, our man Bob Dylan drops into Trucking by the Grateful Dead. Is that right, Isaac?
That is correct. He has an otherwise static set list that he's been playing a lot in this Rough and Rowdy Ways tour. It very much features the new material on this amazing album that came out in the middle of the lockdown, Rough and Rowdy Ways, which Blake Mills, who I saw at Big Ears, plays on. And yes, he just decides that he is going to cut one of his songs in his set list and play Truckin'.
It's simply unbelievable.
It is. He wrote about the song Truckin' as one of the 60 tracks he kind of does a little mini essay on in this new book, The Philosophy of Modern Songs.
Sure.
But he's never played it before. He did play Friend of the Devil when he was in San Francisco on this same tour.
It's
very cool that he is just, you know, nodding to Jer.
It's a big nod to Jer.
It's a big nod to Jer in this way. And yeah, I don't know. I can't even really put into words why this has my heart so much.
Oh, it's endlessly compelling and funny and charming and incredible all at once. I feel like, you know, as we know, but we can reiterate, like the Grateful Dead culture for the most part is a United States phenomenon, right? Europe was never really part of the picture. It didn't go that far, though. We will say that there is a store in Tokyo called Chi-Chi's, which is owned by a man named Chi-Chi, and he is the purveyor of heady Grateful Dead, both memorabilia and just, you know, he makes these sort of limited edition, specialized Chi-Chi's Grateful Dead shirts at this store in Tokyo that both you and I have been to on separate occasions. It's incredible. It's become a bit of a pop culture phenom in Tokyo, right? But it sticks out because it's the only one of its kind, I believe, in Tokyo, right? Like, that's like a whole, it's just, you know, Grateful Dead culture basically stayed within the United States, right? So to have our boy Bob Dylan, literally Bob Dylan, playing the Blue Note Tokyo and playing Truckin'.
Was the Blue Note, but yes.
Sorry, where was it?
I believe it was at the Tokyo Garden
Theater. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, I was thinking about.
I would love to see him at the Blue
Note.
Yeah,
right? Holy shit.
That would be very cool.
I was just thinking about the Blue Note Tokyo. But yeah, regardless, unbelievable, just really cool. I think that's just a great story.
Yes, totally. And today he announced that he is releasing the Shadow Kingdom concert. He did a live stream in July 2021, which was like, it's kind of live performances, but it's also music video and video art in a way.
Sure.
And it's, you know, a kind of a dozen reinterpretations from his back catalog.
Wow.
That he's doing with, you know, the way he sounds now and the way his band is now. And that's going to be released on June 2nd, the concert film and the soundtrack.
Dude, it's all unbelievable.
We're here for Bob Dylan.
We're very much here for Bob Dylan. And if you don't know Bob Dylan, where you been, baby? Where you been? Under a rock? No? Handmade Blade, Child's Balloon, Eclipses Both the Sun and Moon? You got that? No? You should get that. You should have that one under your belt. Among about 150 or 250 others. Maybe 300. Anyway,
he's
good.
A lot of songs.
He has a lot of songs, and they're all worth a listen. Wow, Isaac. I mean, you know, there's so much going on. Those were three just delightful stories. I feel like there's so much to catch up on. It's crazy. I'm like, it feels like a ship passing in the night, even though I'm home, but I'm not home and doing all these things and gearing up. We have Jazz Fest to look forward to. My band is playing at the Blue Nile late night on Friday, May 5th. Then, meaning technically early in the morning on Saturday, May 6th, right? The show, the doors are at 1 a.m. and the show goes on at 1:30 a.m. So I'm very excited for that. And if you go to Jazz Fest, I hope to see you there. And, you know, right before that, I feel like I shouldn't leak this, but I'm going to leak it anyway to our podcast listeners. Fuck it. May 1st through 4th, your girl is going to be back on Seth Meyers playing guitar every night. So I'll tell you, you know, I'm not going to say too much about that now, even though that's basically the whole gist of it, but pretty fucking crazy. And the weekend right before that, I have a Marco weekend where we're playing two nights at the Press Room. They're both sold out, and at Soundcheck Studios in Pembroke, Massachusetts. Come home from that, immediately go on Seth Meyers for a week, then go to New Orleans and play two late night shows, then come back, have a week to get my life together, sort of, play the Tulip Festival with Guster. Then immediately after that, go to Iceland with the Disco Biscuits. And then next thing you know, there's so much stuff that's happening right around then that I'm not allowed to tell you about yet. But I'm overwhelmed. I'm overjoyed. Shit is happening at just a crazy velocity. I'm just trying to keep it all together. And I really look forward to sharing all these fun things with our listeners and beyond.
Speaking of people playing the music of the Grateful Dead,
yeah.
Jazz Fest, the Disco Biscuits, jazz.
Yes.
Our friend Aaron Magner, friend of the podcast, friend to many.
Friend, deep friend.
Is taking out his jazz trio, Spaga, and they are going to play the music of the Grateful Dead, starting at Jazz Fest on April 30th, and then coming to the Northeast for a run of shows in early June. I just want to shout him out.
We had to shout him out.
Love this guy, and I'm looking forward to hearing him and his group interpret some Grateful Dead music.
We love Spaga. We have the vinyl. We listen all the time. They are a great, great trio. Really very exciting. And I'm glad that he's bringing it both to New Orleans and around these parts. It's very, very exciting. So many things going on. It's great. Our friend Marco Benevento just announced the full lineup for his Follow the Arrow Festival, which is now in its second year, which is crazy. It features Rubble Bucket, the Barr Brothers, Marco himself, your girl me, the band
That's
Upstate.
Announced.
Oh, it's announced, honey.
Great. Karina's playing Follow the Arrow.
I'm playing Follow the Arrow. It was, it was a little touch and go there for a second. And just based on radius clauses, the next episode will go all into the magic of radius clauses. But for now, you can just Google that shit. Anyway, it's that's exciting. And then, you know, the night before, I'm playing the Northlands Festival up in Swansea, New Hampshire. There's so many things happening. It's just absolutely crazy. So, you know, one day at a time, we'd like to shout out our friend, RJB. He puts on this podcast. Sorry I skipped last week, pal. There was too much going on. We are delighted to be a part of the Osiris umbrella. And we hope that you, our listeners, are basking in the glory of this gloriously, unseasonably warm week. At least that's what it is in the Northeast. I don't know where you're listening from, but man, here in New York City, second it hit 80 degrees on April 9th, people running around like they just smoked a ton of crack. Dogs are drunk. People have their breasts out, flopping around. It's crazy out there. And I hope you're enjoying it just the way I am. It's really a wonderful thing. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week, and Inappropriate Happiness will be back with another one next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
I never learned to camp. Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you're from.
Osiris.
Hi, I'm Dave Gebro. I threw my career as a licensed hearing instrument specialist in the trash, sold my house, and created the ultimate music obsessives podcast, Discograffiti. Each episode of Discograffiti features an eclectic and wide-ranging slew of cool musicians doing long-form, deep-dive interviews in which we rate either their favorite band's output or their own from 0 to 5 stars. From Mike Watt rating the Minutemen to Terry Kirkman from The Association, Bob Nastanovich on Pavement, Bob Forrest on The Band, Bob Mayer on The Replacements, and Lou Barlow on The Zombies, each new guest swings a hard left into an area you either had no idea you needed to know about or know all about and can't believe you're not alone out there. Coming up, here's who we've got on the program. The Lemon Twigs, Robert Schneider from The Apples in Stereo, the Dedrick siblings from The Free Design, Joel Selvin on mother-murdering superstar drummer Jim Gordon, and a record-breaking 20-hour interview with the great Michelle Phillips about the Mamas and the Papas. You're not going to want to miss it, because there's nothing quite like it. Don't let your youth go to waste, lads and ladies. Discograffiti. Subscribe.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.